A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, no one could possibly have imagined a couple of weeks ago that this reading would seem so dramatically appropriate. We had no idea that Pope Benedict was on the point of resigning. And now here we are, waiting for the next phase, the conclave, and the election of a new pope. And in the circumstances, this made me think again about the choice Jesus made without a conclave, and ask myself, well, would we have chosen the same man to lead the church? No, I'm serious. Think about it. When Jesus entrusted the church to Peter, no one knew how the story was going to end. Nobody knew there was going to be the crucifixion and then the resurrection. So, try to put yourself in an imaginary conclave at that time. Which of the disciples would you have chosen? Peter? Wait a minute, are you sure? He was impulsive, hot-headed, not over-bright. He was in some ways terribly naive. Do you remember after the Transfiguration when he suggested that they should all just stay and camp up there on the mountain? He also had a marked gift for putting his foot in it, to the point that Jesus actually had to reprove him in the strongest terms on at least one occasion. Listen to this. This is just a couple of verses further on in the same chapter as the Gospel passage that we're looking at today. "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.'" And this is the man who's going to be the head of the church. Okay, who else? Who else might you have chosen? Maybe John, the beloved disciple. Wasn't he the special one? The only one who didn't abandon Jesus at the crucifixion. The one who sat closest to him, leaning on him at the Last Supper. Poet, the visionary. Or would you maybe choose Andrew, who was the very first to recognize who Jesus was, as the Gospel of John tells us in this passage? John writes, "John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." So, what do you say, Andrew? A good candidate? The first, actually, to say, "We've found the Messiah"? Or, who else? Maybe even Judas, the good administrator, practical, capable one, the man in charge of the money. And you don't give that responsibility to somebody who's a complete disaster. Remember, no one could possibly have suspected at this point that he would be the one to betray Jesus. He really looks like a good candidate at this stage. You need someone practical to run the church. Yeah, but Jesus sees things differently. From his very first meeting with Simon, he'd nicknamed him Peter, which translates as rock, or if you like, rocky, shades of Sylvester Stallone. Jesus had seen in this rough fisherman a quality that above all was needed and is needed still today for the task that he was going to have to take on. Because Peter, with all his faults, was reliable and solid and down to earth. Oh yes, I know, we need our Pope to be a deeply spiritual man, a man of prayer, but we need him to have a firm hand too. We need him to be steady. We need him to be a sure foundation for the church. A rock. Remember the man that built his house on a rock, and the gates of hell didn't prevail against that. The new pontiff won't necessarily be just like Pope Benedict. He may have new ideas. He may take the church in a different direction, a direction that we can't yet imagine, but he will be rock in his own way. Think of the difference in style and temperament between some of the recent popes, between John the 23rd and Paul the 6th, or between Paul the 6th and John Paul the 1st, between John Paul the 1st and John Paul the 2nd, between John Paul the 2nd and Benedict the 16th. They're not all the same. They're all rocks in different ways. And of course, each of us will have found one or maybe two or three of them more congenial than the others. But no one will deny they've all been holy. They've all led the church according to the guidance that they perceived from the Holy Spirit. Well, it's an unenviable task that the cardinals have, and we should perhaps be thanking God for the fact that we're not among them. But we can accompany the cardinals into the conclave with our prayers, just as we accompany Pope Benedict into his new life of retirement, contemplation, just as we will accompany the next pope in his tremendous task as he takes possession of the keys of the kingdom. And of course, we can trust the Holy Spirit to hold the new pope under his loving and protective wing. Finally, thank you, Pope Benedict, for your service to the Church. Thank you, Cardinals, for undertaking the choice of the new Pope. Thank you, above all, to our Lord, for guiding priests, the bishops, Cardinals, and the Popes, who in their turn guide us.